Okay, welcome back. I'm going to talk to Dr. Eric Carlstrom this hour. I'm going to highlight a couple of very interesting videos. One of them I've been running for, about a week off and on now. It's remarkable. And it's called the Corona Jab Serum. Well, I'd call it the vaccine. And its effects on human DNA and brain hacking. Are you ready to blow your mind? This is very interesting with Dr. Charles Morgan, Psychoneurobiology and War, 2018. Okay, that's the formal title of it. There's a second video we'll try and get to. It's titled Brain Science from Bench to Battlefield, the Realities and Risks of Neuroweapons. This is 2017, delivered by Dr. James Giordano. These are very heady, no pun intended, subjects. Neuro this, neuro that, weapons, mind. They're way out there pushing the envelope, and they've really pushed it to lengths that most people would never understand. This Charles Morgan video was extraordinary. Eric, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, and thank you for sending me this video with Dr. Charles Morgan. I've gone ahead and transcribed it, and I believe you listed it with our evening notes here. So if people want to take a look at that thing, and they can also go to that link, and it's on my website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, and they can listen to them, and then they can read more or less a transcription of it, which I did. It's very important stuff. It's also very, very complex, and it's going to be, as you said, heady. This is a gigantic field of science that has been more or less top secret for many, many decades.
Totally sub rosa. It's big. This is big time. Big time. Agreed.
Yeah, you know, and the MACI conferences and the CIA MK Ultra program and our Operation Bluebird and Artichoke and MK Search and MK Naomi, and there's a whole list of these programs in which the CIA partnered with some of the smartest scientists and neuroscientists and psychologists in the world with their MK Ultra and other programs, and devised all kinds of all manner of ways to control the behavior of others. And that was the stated goal in a memo in 1952 in Operation Bluebird. They said, we want to see if we can find ways to get others to do our bidding, even if it goes against their self-interest or even their sense of self-preservation. In other words, to make a Manchurian candidate, which they had done. George Estabrooks did that as a hypnotist back in World War II, and he's got a book about it. So even hypnotism could be done. Uh-huh. You could fragment a personality back in World War II and cause a person to flip into personality B and go fulfill their orders, which could be anything from killing somebody to, you know, having sex and getting information from somebody, and then flip back into the other personality and not even remember what they did, you know. So, I mean, this has been an intelligence operation and a military operation from the get-go, but it has involved the very, very top scientists. And now when we hear experts like Dr. Charles Morgan give a talk at the West Point, and uh-huh. we hear Dr. James Giordano, who is at Georgetown University, a neuroscientist, and he calls himself a neuroweaponologist and a neuroethicist. I think that's an oxymoron because those are two very, very different trajectories. But when we hear those guys, what we're listening to is, you know, a very, very advanced war weapon. The neuroweaponry that is being deployed right now. And it is one of the types of hybrid warfare which our nation, certainly our military intelligence complex, is using not only against our foreign enemies, but against our domestic enemies. And what we see here in these two speeches particularly is really, to me, a confession of the fact that, yes, they are targeting brains in this new battle space, which is everywhere, and this includes Americans, and they're using it as more or less a political weapon, and they tell you what they can do to these brains, how they can take them over and all the different ways they can do it. So these are extraordinary, and I've transcribed both of them. In fact, I've got several of Dr. Giordano's YouTube speeches, and he gives them at places like Lawrence Livermore Lab and other kind of military industrial complex places. But these guys are right at the cutting edge. What they're talking about is nothing less than driving someone else's mind like you might drive a car, taking somebody over.
Driving someone else's mind. Think about that. Just like you might take a car. That's exactly what they do. They have the ability to do that. It's very difficult for people to understand that, but they can do it. They can take over your body and manipulate it, operate it any way they want. Crazy.
Well, that's right. And of course, it has nefarious, but for historical perspective here, Jeff, there's an excellent book by a guy named, Lincoln Lawrence, I think was his pseudonym, came out in 1967. It was called Were We Controlled? And he talks about his hypothesis for what really happened with the Kennedy assassination. And he talks about the fact that already at that time in 1963, the CIA and the scientific community had mastered such mind control techniques as RHIC, radio hypnotic intracerebral control, where you could remotely use electronics to flip somebody back and forth between these different personality states and do it and hypnotize them in the process. And so RHIC was available, and of course you could make a remote Manchurian candidate that way. And also they had EDOM, E-D-O-M, electronic dissolution of memory. So in other words, this stuff has been coming down the pike for many, many decades, but now it is very, very advanced. And I think what we have here in these clips that I think we'll try to get to is really a confession. These guys are brazen about the fact that they are targeting the brain. They're targeting certain demographics of individuals because it helps them, with their intelligence assessments and controlling the population. This, I believe, as a targeted individual myself, I believe a line has been crossed, and now we're into the realm of the demonic. When you take over someone else's mind and personality and soul, you're messing with something which humans should not be messing with. And these guys do it with impunity. I mean, they think it's fun, you know.
There's no boundaries for them. There's no accountability. They can do this again. They've got a free run. Do whatever they want. Unlimited money.
That's exactly right. And, you know, unlimited ability to abuse their power. They don't have consequences, because the whole system supports the military-industrial complex as the number one industry, if you will, of the United States. And I would say, having listened a little bit to your last interview, Jeff, that as far as I'm concerned, these shooters, many of them are under mind control. And yeah, drugs can do that, but I would say Columbine and many of these other places, you're dealing with individuals, you know, like Aaron Alexis and Myron May, et cetera, who are the victims of these targeting programs, which include remote mind control and remote torture. And this is a slow kill, soft kill, silent kill weapons system, which they've been testing now for decades against Americans. And of course, if an American complains about it, the system stonewalls them and says, okay, well, this person must be crazy. Send him to a loony bin or put him in jail. In other words, this is so high priority, we have to protect this operation at all costs. The cost in human lives apparently it doesn't move them.
Let me say something. And this bothers me, and it always has. They don't give a rat's tail about human life. It doesn't matter to them. We must understand that. There's no morality. There's no constraint. There's no empathy. They're psychopaths. Scientists, psychopaths.
Exactly. This is the scientific dictatorship that Eisenhower warned us about in 1961, because it was in full swing and he lost control to it in his presidency in the 1950s. This is the group that's really, kind of steering everything. And it goes back to the 40s and the Macy conferences in the 50s with the MK Ultra. But we're talking about very, very smart people with, you know, very high IQs. But as you say, absolutely no sense of morality. And this is, these are the people that have been steering our country. I think we should be shouting this from the rooftops, because what they've been doing is getting away with murder on a scale that most people, and torture on a scale that most people can't fathom, especially in a quote unquote free country like the United States. I mean, yeah, okay, they do that in Russia. Okay, they do that in China, these communist totalitarian countries. But actually what's happening, there's many names for gang stalking. One of them that I've just run across, which I kind of like, is authoritarian political warfare. Another one is psychopolitics. That's the Russian term, or psychotronics, electronic warfare plus psychological.
Psychotronics, a good, yeah. Very good word, yeah, good term.
Many descriptors for this, but what it is, it's a way for governments and private groups, if they want to get involved, you know, even families who are billionaires could do this, to use very high-tech military-grade equipment to torture and kill any opponent that they don't like. And I would I would say that there's a great number of quote-unquote targeted individuals out there, and they're watching videos like this and they're commenting on them. And so I've loaded up some of their comments. They're quite well educated, many of them, because they're fighting for their lives. They're much more educated than the average person.
How do we determine, and this is not easy, how do we determine how some of the TIs out there may not be TIs? They may be suffering from other things, and there are some. So it's not an exclusive membership. It's not an automatic membership. You there are other things involved here. The question is, how many TIs are real TIs out there?
Well, that's a tough one.
I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but. Yeah.
Having been through the 9/11 truth movement, you know, from the beginning, because I've got a website, 911nwo.com, having been on the edges of that, like I think you have been as well, but not jumping in, I watched the government come in and commandeer it by putting stars in and then having them stage fights with each other to kind of fragment the movement. They've done that exactly the same thing with the covering up of this crime. These are colossal government crimes, and the modus operandi that they use to cover them up, the cover-up is part of the crime. And so it has to be maintained. And so there are many agents, surveillance role players, crisis actors, actual spies who take on the roles then of targeted individuals in order to, you know, kind of get attention to themselves and keep attention away from the real TIs and confuse the public about the whole thing. So this is what happened with the 911 truth movement and all attempts by the public to set the record straight, like the global warming fraud, same thing. There's a whole series of techniques that are used to take out the real scientists and promote the bot scientists. And I'm very familiar with that too, because that is my subject. I was a professor of physical geography, and I have a website, naturalclimatechange.org, which proves that the global warming thing is a fraud. But of course, if you get too close to these secrets, then you can be put on the terrorism watch list, you know, as a potential terrorist threat. And then the whole weight of the state, in terms of the apparatus for taking out the internal enemies, can be thrown against you, as it has been thrown against me. Now, this is not warm and fuzzy, because this is war. They're at war with their own citizens. And now I would suggest that, you know, please listen, you know, people out there, because now they're at war with you too. You know, this is war against the domestic population. And somebody like me, who has been, you know, fighting for survival, maybe a little ahead of the curve as to what weapons they can throw at you, because I've watched them throw those weapons at me, and I've studied the work of people that I think are real genuine TIs. But yeah, you have to sort through all the lies and the spies and the setups.
The movement's been penetrated. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. Very difficult, you know, like everything else. What's the truth? You know, whom do you trust? You know, like the old TV show. And that's deliberate. but you know, let's listen to some of these clips. Would you like to start with Giordano or Morgan, Jeff? Let's start with Giordano, if you don't mind. This is him speaking in 2017, and he's at Georgetown University. He's a consultant for DARPA and also the European Union's Human Brain Project. He calls himself a neuroethicist and a neuroweaponologist. And he is most direct and forthright, really, about what he's doing. Of course, Georgetown was an MKUltra school from the beginning. So it still is. So the targeting program is really a piece of MKUltra. A continuation of MKUltra.
Okay, what I want to do here is finish up one thing I'm doing. I'm trying to get these things straightened out under your name here. Okay. Now we'll start with Charles.
Okay, that would be Morgan. Okay, so this is a 2018 speech. I just mentioned Giordano. That's a 2017 speech. But whichever you've got queued up, we can start with that.
Okay, hold on here. These are going to be short clips as soon as I can get this mailed off here. These are what these. Hold on, I got to get this straightened out to go. Okay. Okay. Now, how many clips do we have of Morgan? Let's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, okay. We got 5 or 6. That's fine. All right.
Yeah.
The first clip is ready to roll, and it's only going to be 20 seconds long, okay? It's called Possession Experiment. All right?
And then take a biological signal and turn it into an electrical signal and amplify it. The natural segue then would be, if I can send motor function from a brain to a mechanical arm, is it possible to send motor functions from one human to another human? So I call it the possession experiment.
All right, I'm going to play that again. It's very interesting. A possession experiment. Okay, here we go.
And then take a biological signal and turn it into an electrical signal and amplify it. The natural segue then would be, if I can send motor function from a brain to a mechanical arm, is it possible to send motor functions from one human to another human? So I call it the possession experiment.
All right. There we go. Possession experiment.
Yeah, I think maybe worth mentioning that this guy is a professor of national security studies at the University of New Haven. His focus is on teaching national security studies, domestic and international intelligence analysis, issues in deception, psychological operations. He's worked with the CIA, with the DOD's SEER school, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. And he's taught at special operations courses at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He has served with the U.S. Navy. So this is the area of the deep state, let's call it what it is, the deep state, that is doing these things. And here he is teaching a bunch of graduate and undergraduate students at West Point.
Yeah. So kids, young men. Okay. The second clip is brain-to-brain transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's fun! Brain-to-brain transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's fun! Okay, this is Charles Morgan having some fun.
Now, do you know the phrase brain power? Well, it turns out that scientists at the University of Washington are trying to hone that power and transmit it to another brain. Researchers call it direct brain-to-brain communication, and they do it by passing a signal from one mind to the next, using the internet nonetheless.
You can watch the video, but essentially what's happening is when one person is playing the video game, they're not using their hands. They're simply looking at targets. What's going on in the other room is a transcranial magnetic stimulation device that creates a magnetic field that excites neurons, and it's the other man's hand that begins to move and hits the targets. So you've co-opted the portion of a body of another human, and then their hand can behave in the way that you want it to do, in the way that you want it to do. But the person on the receiving end described the sensation as rather odd. Said, I didn't know anything until I saw my hand beginning to move, until I saw my hand beginning to move. And felt that it was something other, and its hand was moving, hand could punch in a code, hand could do a number of things. But the really fun part was that you're taking over somebody else's physical body, taking over somebody else's physical body, this physical body with the mind of another human, with the mind of another human.
Well, Eric, that is fun. What the hell's wrong? Come on, that's fun.
Let's get with it, man. No, I've had many people, targeted individuals, contact me, and one guy from Britain sent me a videotape of him trying to sleep, and his leg is flying all over the room. You know, it's flying up off the bed. He's a young man, fairly vigorous, you know, and the leg is just doing all these crazy things. And so I guess somebody was having a lot of fun with him. This is the kind of thing that probably these military guys are testing on the domestic population because, hey, it's fun, you know.
You bet they are. All right, hold on a minute. We have to pause just for a second. Dr. Eric Carlstrom and I will be right back. It sounds too far out there to be real, but it's real, totally real. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Eric Carlstrom and yours truly, listening to some just stunning material. I'm going to play that last clip again real quick. It's just for fun, because it is fun. Here we go.
Now, do you know the phrase brain power? Well, it turns out that scientists at the University of Washington are trying to hone that power and transmit it to another brain. Researchers call it direct brain-to-brain communication, and they do it by passing a signal from one mind to the next, using the internet nonetheless.
You can watch the video, but essentially what's happening is when one person is playing the video game, they're not using their hands. They're simply looking at targets. What's going on in the other room is a transcranial magnetic stimulation device that creates a magnetic field that excites neurons, and it's the other man's hand that begins to move and hits the targets. So you've co-opted the portion of a body of another human, and then their hand can behave in the way that you want it to do, in the way that you want it to do. But the person on the receiving end described the sensation as rather odd. Said, I didn't know anything until I saw my hand beginning to move, until I saw my hand beginning to move. And felt that it was something other, and its hand was moving, hand could punch in a code, hand could do a number of things. But the really fun part was that you're taking over somebody else's physical body, taking over somebody else's physical body, this physical body with the mind of another human, with the mind of another human. So what do you think would be the next step? Do you follow me?
Well, that's step enough right there. Now, this is 3 years ago. Remember, this is they make progress all the time, so they're at it, night and day, with as much money as they want. Keep that in mind too. Okay, the next clip. Let me go. The next one is deep. It's fun, Eric. Remember that it's fun. Deep brain electrode implants, human to human thought transference, brain to brain of sensory information. Okay? brain transferring sensory information. This is just, it seems like there ought to be a law against this, doesn't it?
Well, this is what's so interesting, because there really aren't. I mean, we have the Fourth Amendment to protect us against searches and seizures officially, but there is no equivalent for searching and seizing what's in your mind. So we really need to have a few extra amendments in our Constitution to protect the sovereignty of our brain.
Because the sovereignty of the human brain should be sanctified above all.
And that's right.
That should be right there. All right,
but meanwhile, these guys are having a heyday, because this is a weapon system, and there is what they call dual use, because they can say, okay, we need billions of dollars to research the cure for Alzheimer's and life extension and whatnot, and that's the positive side. And the negative side, of course, is to take over, control people's brains, turn them into zombies, put them into a hive mind, put visual images and auditory sounds in their head, change their memories. And of course, the guy who put this together is End Times Watchman. He says this has enormous implications for Christians, because if they can change your memories and change your perceptions, they can make you hate God. They can make you worship the beast. They can send you to hell forever. Now, if you're a believer, and I am, that means that they have the power to send you to hell without you really being able to protect yourself, unless you perhaps know about this. So this is very important information.
All right. Deep brain electrode implants. Human-to-human thought transference, brain-to-brain, of sensory information. Here we go.
Is that DARPA did get permission for 500 operations to do deep brain electrode implants, Haven't published anything yet, but my guess is what you're looking at is human-human thought transference, and certainly in the open science world, that was published last month. Actually, the brain-to-brain transfer sensory information in two humans. And they achieved a success rate of being right 85% of the time. So you can attach one human brain to a device. You can attach the human brain to another human brain. You can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. But you could pluck...
All right. 500 deep brain surgical procedures. Is that what he said?
I think it was something like, maybe, or 500 experiments, 500 contracts to work on these technologies. Because, again, this is a really exploding part of the scientific world now.
Oh, this is huge.
There's a lot of money being poured into this from the private sector that wants immortality, of course. And then the military is pouring enormous amounts because they're using this as a weapon. If they can control the enemy's minds, they don't have to go out on the battlefield and have any blood, you know. So if you just get the other people to just give up. And, of course, this was tested in 1991 at the first
Gulf War.
And was successful. In other words, they were able to put the voice of God sounds or words into the minds of the Iraqis who were the front lines and told them to get down on their knees, put down their guns, and give up. And they did. And so this has been tested, the voice of God, or the V2K. And again, this can be used to change memories and to change your perceptions and to change behavior. So again, this is not new. But what's new is the combination of things like nanobots changing your DNA, it's moved so fast now that we really start to need to be on top of this.
Okay, I'm going to play that again real quick here.
Is that DARPA did get permission for 500 operations to do deep brain electrode implants, Haven't published anything yet, but my guess is...
500 operations to do deep brain electrode implants. All right.
What you're looking at is human-human thought transference, and certainly in the open science world, that was published last month. Actually, the brain-to-brain transfer of sensory information in two humans. And they achieved a success rate of being right 85% of the time. So you can attach one human brain to a device. You can attach the human brain to another human brain. You can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. But
got it? Okay. Let me jump up to the next one here. This is all, look, this is not science fiction. This is science fact. Okay? They're doing it. The next one is biohacking groups.
So that's what people are doing. There's a whole world out there of biohacking. I don't know if you're aware of it, but you should be. So normally at the university, we are well regulated by the federal laws about studying and experimenting on humans. There's a biohacking community that is not part of the official science community that is busy trying to attach hardware to humans, and they do it in their basements. They study up on how to do the surgeries, how to connect devices, how to put motherboards in people. And they may use it for some purposes, like phishing, using RFID signals in their hands to take information from you. But there are some other interesting developments when you start thinking about...
Okay. There's another one. I guess we're almost getting to the point, Eric, where the question is, what can't they do? I mean, if I've got a memory bank in my mind of a number of experiences, and they can go in there and extract or implant memories, and I will swear to God that they're real, or they never happened, we're in real trouble here.
Yeah, are you still you if you have a different set of memories? You know, that this it's a... It gets to some very basic questions about identity. And, you know, if as many of us believe that we're made in the image of God, these people can move us into a realm in which we perhaps sever those connections. And I think that the demonic side of this is that this is what they want to do.
Right.
If you put this together with all the other crazy things that are happening right now, and many would say, you know, okay, we're in this massive Bolshevik revolution. Well, it's a satanic push as well. This is the Antichrist kingdom, etc.
Yeah.
And if these very technologies are now going to be rolled out against the human population to move us into a post-human era, and if Satan is behind it, and Satan wants all this company in hell with him, I guess, and bring everybody down there, this is something we really need to be aware of. Because billions of people could be affected. And the point that this guy makes in the video, the End Times Watchman, is that many of these very technologies can be introduced through the vaccine. And, you know, the nanobots and the mRNA, et cetera, can have these very effects. So, you know, of course, he's making kind of a Christian interpretation of all of this, which I actually think is appropriate. But meanwhile, I guess my emphasis is, you know, as a targeted individual, and I think this is perhaps one of the greatest crimes in history, which is unacknowledged. Yes, they have used these biohacking groups. They're the vigilantes out there who are, you know, putting in the implants and monitoring the targeted individuals, torturing them, using V2K and all kinds of
mm-hmm.
experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And so this then becomes part of the web of this incredible crime, really, because you're doing crimes against humanity, but it is with the participation of a surprising a number of people in different segments of the society. Really, it's quite depressing. You know,
all these
evil things, you know.
Totally evil. Deep brain implants, brain-to-brain, hive mind. Brain-to-brain, hive mind.
Information. If they have to do the brain implants, we'll know sooner, because I can't see any other reason why DARPA got approval for 500 deep brain implants. Why DARPA got approval for 500 deep brain implants.
Many years ago, like over decades ago, DARPA wanted to put chips in people's brain.
I think the next step is going to be a hive brain. It's already been done in rats. You can link multiple brains, and as a hive, they solve problems much faster than the individual rat. So that technology...
If they do this, Eric, excuse me, and let's say you and I and three other people are linked, would this be necessarily voluntary or involuntary? It could be both. And if we were linked, does that mean I'm going to be inside of someone else's thought processes? Or are we just trading information on a superficial level? I guess the sky's the limit.
Yes, and these guys in the military, of course, would be thinking in terms of, okay, we've got a problem. Let's try to solve it collectively by hooking our brains together.
Good.
We'll get more horsepower out of that. And you know, I'm sure that is successful. And Brian too talks about how the CIA, DIA hive mind teams of three or four psychologists or neuroscientists will actually be interfacing with the mind of the targeted individual as they look at it on a computer screen.
Wow.
And they themselves, they will link their brains in order to do whatever they're going to try to do to the targeted individual. So they're actually operating on you electronically and remotely to try to, plant this suggestion, to try to get you to change your motivation, your behavior, your ideas, whatever. And so you're a guinea pig in a big experiment. But obviously the military has military uses for this, and then others perhaps would have very different uses for this. Mm-hmm. The idea of the Neuralink of Elon Musk, of course, well, you know, you get the whole world on a hive mind and then connect it to AI. And that is what Elon Musk has said.
Let me finish this clip and then we'll get to Giordano here real quick.
Yeah.
Multiple brains. And as a hive, they solve problems much faster than the individual rat. So that technology's here. I'm assuming they'll link people to have a productive life, live in virtual reality, move robotic things. They can probably problem solve. So I think in the next few years, that's what we'll see, is brain-to-brain linking for problem solving to see if it makes it more efficient. But those are a couple of...
Okay. See if it makes it more efficient. I think they already know the answer to that. Let me move forward now to... we don't have a lot of time, but I want to get these in. Dr. James Giordano. Okay. Here we go. If you look under this in guests, you can see a paper that put together by Eric. Here we go. Dr. James Giordano, Brain Science from Bench to Battlefield, The Realities and Risks of Neuroweapons.
Which is because neuroscience and technology commands and captures $175 billion with a B dollar annual market space. There's a tremendous amount of global economic leverage that can be occurred and affected, but can also be used for somewhat softer applications in the national security space, inclusive of intelligence purposes, and the use of neuro and cognitive sciences to develop insights to and techniques for psychological operations and information systems, what is referred to in military parlance as PSYOPs and MISO. If we now transition that into more hard forms of weaponizability, these are the areas where we're actually looking to exert physical, not just cognitive influence and or deterrence. These are your more classical forms of weaponization where you actually see things like guns, bullets, bombs, etc. But now, when confined to the biological space, we see chemicals such as drugs and other chemical agents, biological such as the use of various microbes with bacteria and viruses and toxins, and increasingly devices, which up until quite recently were not even considered to be in the weaponizable space, and only very recently, with regard to the last review conference of the International Biological Toxins and Weapons Convention last December, did the Australia group raise the possibility that certain devices, namely neurotechnology and hybrid cyborg-type devices, which we'll talk about, should be considered within the larger scale of what might be a potential biological. So what we're seeing is we need to cast a broader net as we increase broader and ever more sophisticated capabilities. Still with me? Okay. In fact, what we're doing here is just this. We're targeting the brain. And we're targeting the brain on a variety of levels. Now, like any good target, what I have to be able to do is I need to put the pipper on point. In other words, I need to put this gun sight, so to speak, where I want it to be. Otherwise, what I'm doing is I'm just hosing a target indiscriminately. That's not what I look to do. I don't want buckshot. I want sharp shot. So the first thing that I need to do, as anyone will tell you, is I have to recon my target area quite well so as to be able to acquire viable targets and also to avoid collateral damage.
Okay, they're not messing around here. This guy is not mincing any words at all. They want to hone right in, and they're going to do it.
They have been doing it. Well, he's really admitting what has been going on for a long time.
Correct.
I would say they've been targeting brains since the 50s.
They're going to, oh, yeah, they're going to do whatever they want. Here is the next one. Okay. All right, here we go. Here's the next one. Key intelligence targets tracking brain signatures. This force multiplies SIGINT, COMINT, and NURINT. All right, hold on.
Is this a work in progress? Yes, absolutely. Is it in progress? Very absolutely. Moreover,
well, there it is. There's your answer. Is it in progress? Very absolutely. Okay.
Utilize various types of brain assessment and access approaches for forms of biotracking, getting what's called neurological signatures or brain signatures on key individuals that then may be representative of whole groups. This feeds back to what we discussed earlier, the neural narratives. If I understand how his brain works and how her brain works, and I'm able to do that on a broad enough scale, I can develop patterns, and as a result, I may be able to use that in ways that inform my intelligence. It synergizes and force multiplies my human intelligence, humint, my signal intelligence, SIGINT, and my communications intelligence, COMINT. NURINT, coupled with assessment and access, gives me said capabilities. But I can also begin to utilize this for intelligence acquisition in different ways. I can, for example, utilize neuropharmacologics and various forms of brain stimulation to be able to extract information from key intelligence targets in ways that are far less deleterious and or harmful to said targets, and as a result, uphold a higher, if you will, moral conduct in the face of various forms of intelligence operations.
A moral conduct? The man said, moral conduct. Very interesting.
Yeah, he calls himself a neuroethicist. But, you know, what these guys don't seem to realize is that the brains they are studying have owners. And so in order for them to study, let's say, my brain or somebody
details,
else.
Trite details.
Yeah. Well, you, if you are in this program as a non-consensual human experimentee, a guinea pig, your rights are taken away. Your civil liberties are taken away. You are depersoned. Your life is destroyed. It is just, you know, systematically destroyed so they can use you as a guinea pig. But that is an allowable cost to these psychopaths.
Wow. All right. Here's the last clip from Dr. Giordano. Titan, T-I-T-A-N, human terrain learning, biological signatures.
Moreover, we can also utilize something called Titan, which is tiered integrated tracking and access networks that utilize biologically implantable chips to then track key individuals in a variety of circumstances and then yoke these to known information about the way brains work to create narratives and behaviors. And essentially what this does is this adds to what's called human terrain teaming. This feeds back to an older idea called naked man approaching. In other words, I don't need to identify you by your uniform, by your clothes, but perhaps by certain anthropometric characteristics, and in this case, biological signatures. So the idea of indwelling biosensors that are able to then upload remotely, telemetrized, this is what happens when the coffee wears up, telemetrized information is quite real. Those of you working in the area of biosensors, RFIDs, understand the potential power here. This is a key area for dual use because these types of sensors are being developed for populational monitoring of key biological variables that can be then uptaken into health information databases. The same type of thing can be used for other forms of information, not least of which is tracking and identification. The idea to then be able to take a key individual set of biological metrics and immediately in real time pull them into a large-scale data analytic to say, this is who this person is, and this is where this person's been, and this is who this person's been interacting with, could be very, very useful. It also...
Wow. Okay. How much of this is being applied, or how applicable is this just to the general public right now? Are they using satellites? Are they using...
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the NSA has got us in their sights, and we have individual brain fingerprints or brain prints. They can follow us around the world with their satellites based on our own brain prints. And, of course, this will feed right into the contact tracing of the COVID. And so now COVID allows this to expand in terms of the number of targets to just about the whole community of the human population.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. I've got enough on my mind. Now I'm really in trouble. This is, now I watched this before, but it's so beyond the realm of the average person. And I'm not saying average in a negative way. They just don't have the time, don't have the interest, don't have the access to it. But you out there are getting a real close look at this. And do look at Eric's transcriptions and his thoughts on these. They're there in guests, and it's very important. Wow. Thank you.
Well, terrific. Thank you, Jeff. We certainly have a right to defend ourselves and to defend our civil liberties and our God-given rights. And we have to push back against this attempt at total control. You know, I know he's having fun playing his little scientific sandbox there. But meanwhile, you know, we're trying to live our lives, and I think that takes precedence, and it has to in the long run, or else we're just going to be turned into cyborg slaves.
Yeah, or worse. Okay, yeah. Thanks, Eric. Talk to you very soon.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Good night.
Excellent. All right, good night. Dr. Eric Carlstrom. Okay, we will continue tomorrow night. Hope to see you then. Good night.
735. That's 1-866-836-8735.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary...
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong.